Instant communication is what most of us expect of the world today. Most of us walk around with fast computers in our pockets, keeping us connected to the world. And oh yeah, they make phone calls too. But the more rural the place, the less likely fast internet connections are available. That's certainly been true for the Yurok tribe along the lower Klamath River on the California side. But the tribe recently announced funding for a project that will deliver full broadband speed to the existing Yurok Connect service. Let's learn more about it. Two guests join us. Jessica Engel is the director of the Yurok Tribe IT Department. Welcome, Jessica.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good to have you. Forrest James is with us as well. He is the CEO of InnerTribe, a partner in the project. Thank you for joining us, Forrest.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for the welcome. Jessica, tell us about Yurok Connect as it currently exists.
Yurok Connect is a wireless internet service provider that the tribe has built from the ground up in an area where no one else was able to provide service. So it's a service that it provides internet, but it would by no means be considered high speed, and it doesn't reach all the areas of the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Then how is it delivered?
It's through a wireless connection from Crescent City. So we get an 18-mile overwater wireless link from Crescent City to our first tower in Requa, and then it's propagated across the reservation through a six-tower network as it currently stands right now.
And on a scale somewhere between dial-up and broadband, where does it fall in speed?
Closer to dial-up.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and it's gotten a little bit less over the years because of tree growth. Wireless internet requires a line of sight, and you know we live in this beautiful redwood coast that can provide a little bit of interference when the trees grow taller than they were when we initially put the towers up.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's not like you want to go in there and start cutting down trees here and there, but it means that over the years that the signal's actually degraded somewhat, it sounds like.
Yep.
Yep. And I imagine there's some real challenges in getting it to everyone on the reservation anyway.
Absolutely.
All right, talk about that, because there's a long, skinny corridor. There must be some real physical challenges in delivering the signal, trees aside.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's pieces that have to do with, you know, the interference of the trees, the distance of the reservation, and then also just a financial means to be able to get those towers built to get the signal where there isn't. There's a couple of neighborhood villages in the Watek Village, for example, and then the backside of the Klamath Glen areas that we just weren't able to serve with our current tower network.
And Jessica, has the reliance upon the network gotten greater since the virus and the shutdowns have progressed?
Absolutely. I mean, it was immediately apparent that with the reservation closure and the pandemic, you want people to stay at home. And if they don't have a means to communicate with the outside world, there's no way for them to do that. For simple things like just being able to call for help or, you know, participate in distance learning with the school closures and work from home.
Oh, wow. So a lot of people, I'm sure, were having some additional difficulties that they didn't have before when that many people were trying to get on at the same time.
Yeah, you know, and we've had some success during this time and some challenges, you know, the getting some people's speeds boosted from the standard speed, which is 1 megabit. I mean, it's almost impossible to use, to our premium speed, which is 6 megabits. It's still not enough to provide, you know, your children to be able to do their Zoom classroom and the parents to be able to work from home at the same time. And so a lot of families have had to make adjustments to their work schedule to accommodate, you know, who's using that small pipe of internet at that time.
Oh, it's kind of like, like having one toilet in the house or one sink or something. Yeah, you can't all use it at once.
Exactly.
So, Forrest James, I want to bring you in here because InnerTribe is a partner in the expansion and speed up of Yurok Connect. And so give us a sense of what InnerTribe is all about, because you're apparently active all over the country.
Sure. So InnerTribe isn't by any means a large firm. We're a small group of individuals that many of us were sort of born and bred in tribal government and tribal business. So that's sort of where we got our start. But like with our indigenous communities, everybody wears several hats, and that's really how InnerTribe got its start, was funding infrastructure projects, for tribes. And what you find is that it's sort of an all-hands-on-deck for many of our tribal businesses or tribal governments. So while we started by writing and bringing in and managing grants, we jumped into infrastructure, and broadband kind of came to the forefront within the first few years. That became the highest need. But we delve into the economic development planning for tribes and such, and just like our clients, we kind of wear many hats and try to pitch in where the help is needed.
So it sounds like broadband becomes really, in essence, basic infrastructure. It's kind of a requirement of doing business in the world today.
You know, it's interesting. Just like any other utility, whether it's water or power, and when we're talking about the Yurok tribe, some areas of the reservation just got power in the last year and a half. But the value, yeah, it's half the battle is getting those utilities into the community, for instance, water. But once you get it in, what you do with it is really where we start to see the value. With water, we use it for cooking, cleaning, drinking, gardening, et cetera. And broadband is really no different. But as a result, we've seen firsthand mothers who had to travel 3 hours a day just to get online distance learning at the closest spot for internet suddenly have internet and get that extra few hours a day with their kids at home. Seeing those types of impacts, you really see the value of having this critical resource.
Wow. So you're saying people were traveling to get to where the signal was better?
Oh, yeah. So the majority of the tribes that we work with are very rural, really remote, low population densities. And yeah, if you look at the Karuk tribe, a neighboring sister tribe to the Yurok, that's a perfect example, which I know Jessica and her team are used to doing as well, traveling 60, 100 miles simply to be able to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you mentioned the Karuk, but where else have you worked? You mentioned a couple different places.
Oh, sure. So we've worked as far east as the Seminole tribe in Florida, to the Lac des Flambeaux in Wisconsin, to the Dakota tribes, the Sioux tribes, as far north as the Katlodichi up near Yellowknife and Hay River. And then, of course, out west here, there's 111-plus tribes in the state of California. So as you could imagine, there's a high need there. And then Washington with the Colville tribes, and there's kind of all over. Up north in Canada, you've got well over 602 First Nations. And then, of course, hundreds here in the United States as well. So there's no shortage of a need for assistance, that's for sure.
No, indeed. We're talking about the souping up of the broadband, or getting broadband really for the first time, to the members of the Yurok tribe through the Yurok Connect service. Forrest James is the CEO of InterTribe, a partner in the project. Jessica Engel gets to sit in front of it all as the director of the Yurok tribe IT department. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jessica, talk about the funding package. This is money really coming from one of the coronavirus bills that is making the speed up possible, isn't it?
Absolutely. And with many infrastructure projects of this magnitude, it takes a lot of different funding sources. So like this one, we have the Economic Development Agency that's provided some grants for planning, Tribal Nations grant for engineering, as well as other nonprofits such as AmperNet, to solve a wide array of our challenges. But in this case, the CARES dollars were the catalyst. There's no doubt. Without those CARES dollars, this project wouldn't be happening so quickly, because normally a project of this magnitude would take years to complete and fund.
And so how much money, and how what is the timeline for completion?
So the CARES dollars have a requirement that you utilize them by the end of this year. And so this project has been with $2.1 million from the CARES Act fund. And all of those dollars have to be spent by December 30th of this year. So the project is going to be completed by December.
So what does it take physically? I mean, it's not just a matter of like, you know, you put in better cables in some places and voop, off you go. I mean, that is the case for some of it, I would assume. But what other kinds of physical infrastructure things have to be done over the course of the next, 4.5 months?
I know, it's quite a lot. So the first thing is that our backhaul, the network of radios and access points, it needs to be switched over to a carrier-grade microwave wireless, which is not what we currently have. What we currently have is the aging infrastructure. So that's the first piece of it. And then adding towers to where there weren't before. So we're going to add two additional tower sites. We also need to add height to our existing towers to get over those trees. And those are just the basic parts of it. That provides the primary, I guess, pipe for the internet. And then the next step would be getting those higher speed internet to the homes, which will require a lot of equipment replacement. It's going to be a whole lot of work. And in addition to this particular project, we have a few other large long-term projects in the works. Our broadband studies are going to be starting up, and those studies are going to provide us a means of where we're going to go as a UROC Connect company to be able to provide phone and internet to places on the reservation where we never have before. And it's really exciting. But yes, it is a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of people as well, not just the physical hardware. As with any project, it's going to take a team. And with this particular project, we've had so much participation from different departments within the tribal government to help ensure its success. For example, our tribal heritage preservation officer, the TIPO officer, tribal council, the planning department, fiscal, IT, our GIS, office of our tribal attorney, housing, emergency services, just to name a few. So having the support from our tribal government departments all coming together to support this project has been instrumental in making it happen by year's end. And, in addition to our contractors like InterTribe and, of course, the citizens and community members help enable it its success. So, the main thing, aside from the hardware and the, adding the towers, is the participation and support from the team.
It sounds like everybody's behind you on this.
Yeah, everybody is going to benefit from it. Mm-hmm. The people who work for the tribe, the people who come to their reservation to sell their goods, the people who live on the reservation that are just community members and tribal members. There's so many pieces of that's going to impact everyone. Not only is this going to, accelerate the availability of internet for our UROC Connect customers, but that is also the tribal government backbone, which provides internet for all of the tribal government offices. So the people that work for the tribe are going to have a much better experience, which, it's kind of a small thing in comparison to the simple improvements for those who don't currently have internet. The things we take for granted every day, like being able to look up a recipe or direction somewhere.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. So how many customers, Jessica? I haven't asked that yet. How many customers do UROC Connect at this point?
So prior to the pandemic, we kind of averaged about 175 business and residential customers. Because of the pandemic, and the Tribal Council has waived internet fees for April, May, June, and July. So for 4 months, they have waived the internet fees for all of our customers. And so we've added back some customers who had previously been disconnected for whatever reason. So we're about 200 customers right now.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean you were talking about the not just having to do the towers and that infrastructure, but also sounds like equipment and home. So it's basically like got to hit visit all 200 customers to get the right receivers on their end?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Forrest James, I assume with InterTribe you've been through this before. Have you seen some real immediate benefits from speeding up the connectivity of the tribe members?
Oh, absolutely. Seeing it firsthand go from nothing to even basic broadband has its own impacts. As Jessica had mentioned, when we look at these projects, like you said, it's these many departments, and we've seen firsthand the active engagement from not only the departments but the community members, and it's for that thing that we talked about earlier, the applications. By speeding it up, suddenly, let's look at it this way. Prior to having any kind of adequate broadband, we found that many of our rural, indigenous or not, communities, quite simply some of the kids going into middle school or going into high school hadn't had any experience with tablets, for instance. Mm-hmm. So suddenly when they get thrust into high school and haven't had a whole lot of experience on a tablet of any kind, suddenly there's a big learning curve. So by increasing the bandwidth per home, of course, like Jessica mentioned, if you don't have that bigger pipe of broadband coming in, it doesn't give you much to distribute. But once you do, you could distribute that to each home. Suddenly, it opens up all kinds of things. Obviously, how we use the broadband is what makes it important.
Jessica, you were talking about 6 megabits is the fastest you offer now. How much faster is this going to be when you can finish the upgrade of UROC Connect?
You know, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. So I haven't set a speed yet. We're still working with Forest and InterTribe and the equipment to make sure that our availability is the best it can be. So I'm gonna not answer that yet because I want to be able to underpromise and overdeliver.
But at least a factor of 10, I'm thinking, right? I mean, that much?
Yeah, I mean, state and federal. So for the state of California, 10 megabits a second is what the lowest is considered to be high-speed internet. Mm-hmm. Federally, it's 25 megabits a second.
All right. So you got so, you're well in that range, I think, from what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
So and Jessica, come back to, if you would, the cell phone and phone connection part you were talking about. There are places where people don't have any kind of phone service, and this would enable them to have that.
Well, there's a couple of pieces about it, right? So the reservation is very, very remote, and so we don't have cell service in the majority of the reservation. There's a small portion in Klamath that gets a little bit of service. And then there's a place on Bald Hills Road where you can stop. It's called Telephone Tree. It's literally just kind of a place you pull over on the side of the road, and if you wait a few minutes, your messages and phone calls will update on your phone. Huh. But that's about it. And so for cellular service, one of the things that we've been trying to get our towers to is a place where they would be attractive for third parties like Verizon, US Cellular, AT&T to co-locate, put their equipment mm-hmm. on our tower sites. And so that is one of the grants that we received last year, is to do a study to see what it takes for those providers and what we would need to do to our towers to make them able to have cellular. And then the second thing is just with this tribal priority window of the EDS spectrum, one of the things that you can do with that spectrum is provide cellular service. So we're looking into that as well. You know, cellular service is essential for emergencies. And, you know, I know from personal experience, I was in a pretty bad car accident where there was no cell service, and it took quite a while to get emergency services there. So, you know, simple things like being able to call for help. And so that is the goal. You know, there's going to be... This project is for the broadband, and as we make these improvements, it's to enable cellular as well. Because these tower sites are communication towers, mm-hmm. they're being built with that in mind.
All right, a lot of work ahead, but by the end of the year, we should be seeing faster speeds on UROC Connect on that reservation along the Lower Klamath River. Jessica Engel is the director of the UROC Tribe's Information Technology Department, in charge of the project, getting help from Forrest James, the CEO of InterTribe, which helps tribal entities all across the country. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.